Welcome to Component 4, Introduction to Information and Computer Science, Unit 3, which is entitled Computer Hardware and Architecture. A key element in understanding the field of information and computer science is understanding how a computer functions and how data is represented in memory. Along those lines, we need to understand the various input and output devices used, how these devices connect to the computer, the CPU and its role in making the whole computer system function, and so on. And we'll explore all of those topics in Unit 3 and provide you with a good foundation so that you understand how a computer functions and you'll be able to continue your education from there. Unit objectives include gaining the ability to list the major elements of a computer, such as the motherboard, the CPU, input-output devices, memory, secondary storage, buses, expansion cards, ports, and so on. Describe how data is stored in memory and in secondary storage. Describe how data is represented in binary. Describe the function of the CPU. Describe how data is input and output from a computer. Describe how a computer system works together. And finally, introduce specialized architectures and embedded systems used in healthcare systems. Let's begin our discussion by asking and defining what a computer is. And it is an electronic device that receives input and then produces output that is useful to people or devices. For example, it can be something as simple as pressing the letter A on your keyboard and then looking at your monitor and seeing the output of the letter A in some Word document or some other program that you're running. A computer is made up of hardware and software. An example would be your monitor. Your monitor would be the hardware, and it connects to the back of your computer via a port. Now, your monitor needs some type of software so that it understands how to work with the rest of the computer system. All devices, all hardware, need software to be able to function, and vice versa. A computer executes instructions found in software programs. A software program is some type of a language that a computer understands that contains logical steps that should be followed to get from point A to point B. If there is no software, then the computer really has no idea as to how to perform. Computers understand only binary numbers. Basically, a binary number is either electricity or a lack of electricity, and this is represented as a 1 or a 0. If we put together a number of 1s and 0s, then this would be binary values or represent binary values that the computer can understand. All input is translated into a binary value. Output is generally translated from a binary value to a code understood by users, which are generally people, or really any device. Output can be sent from one computer to another in binary format. Now, when you press the letter A on your keyboard, then a number of electronic signals are sent from the keyboard through to the CPU. The software that runs your keyboard knows how to interpret that signal so that the CPU can understand it. Then, after some operation is done by the CPU and by the operating system, that keyboard letter that you pressed, in this case the A, would be displayed on your screen as output. Computer hardware consists of system components, storage devices, input devices, and output devices. Let's look at these in detail as we examine each component. And so we start examining system components and begin with the motherboard, which is made up of circuitry, chips, and thousands, perhaps millions, of thin copper wires. If you look at a motherboard using a small magnifying glass, you'll be able to see the small wires, the individual components of each wire, that appear to be just one big piece of copper on the motherboard. Next, we have the central processing unit known as the CPU. And really, the CPU is the brain of the computer, and it's responsible for all operations. The CPU has its own memory, which is SD, or Synchronous Dynamic RAM. And this SD RAM serves as a work area for the CPU. And as you're probably aware, today's computers have multiple processors on the motherboard, and these can be referred to as cores. This slide shows us an image of a modern motherboard. And if you start in the top middle, you'll see that we have a processor displayed there. And this is where the processor would be installed on the motherboard, in that white area in the middle. Next, we have our location for the RAM. And these RAM modules would be installed on the motherboard, as shown here. Next, we have the power supply installation port. And we have IDE ports, in which we would install the connection to hard drives. And then finally, we have PCI slots. And these are component interface slots where we would install a video card, perhaps a sound card, and so on. And the chips, for example, this one here shown on the screen, might be something that's used by the motherboard to communicate with other devices. Motherboard ports are expansion ports. You find these on the rear panel of your computer. Sometimes you'll see them on the top or on the front. And these serve as an interface between the computer and an external device. For example, a mouse usually connects to a PS2 port, and this port is usually colored green. Of course, some current mouses will connect using a USB port. Some expansion ports permit device connection while the computer is actually running, and these are referred to as hot swappable ports. Now, if you connect a device to your computer and the port to which you're connecting is not a hot swappable port, for example, the green port for the mouse, you may short out your motherboard. In any event, if the computer is running and you try to connect a mouse to a PS2 port, the operating system won't recognize the mouse. What you would need to do is reboot your system so that the software that operates the mouse could be loaded. And as I mentioned a couple of slides back, motherboard ports are also expansion cards that plug into the motherboard. The PCI slots, or the peripheral component interface slots, hold what are referred to as expansion cards. An example of an expansion card is a network interface card, or a NIC. PCI standards and architecture provide functionality. And to make all of the devices and operating systems function well together, standards are needed, and we refer to this as interoperability. In other words, all hardware made by all manufacturers would work with a Microsoft Windows operating system. PCI Express, which is also referred to as PCIe with a small e, replaces the PCIX and the AGP standards, and is found in today's modern computer systems. An example of a proprietary software issue revolves around modems. In 1996, Rockwell introduced its proprietary K56 Flex hardware and software standard. This standard governed how its modems connected to an ISP's modems and to modems from other manufacturers. Previously, U.S. Robotics had manufactured its modems to its existing X2 standards. And so notice that we have two standards. We have the K56 Flex and we have the X2 standard. Each manufacturer's standard relates to its equipment. Since there was no global standard, each standard differed from the other such that if you had a K56 Flex modem and your ISP, your workplace, used an X2 standard-based modem, neither modem could connect to the other, and so they couldn't communicate, for example, via dial-up or via fax. This forced people and organizations to buy modems from only one manufacturer if they wanted the modems to be able to talk to each other, and so you can imagine the impact on pricing. Finally, the ITU, the International Telecommunication Union, which set standards for telecommunications, intervened, and the companies worked to create the V series standards for modem communications. The original V.90 standard was a huge success. The manufacturers created a software upgrade for their modems to reflect the new standard, and finally, modems were now able to communicate with each other. The current modem standard is V.92, and the reference link is shown in slide notes. Let's now turn our attention to motherboard buses. Buses are copper wires on a motherboard that connect motherboard devices for communications purposes. A motherboard has a number of buses, but we will focus on its three main buses. And we start with the address bus. And this is where the destination address is placed on these copper wires for this specific communication. Next, we have the control bus, in which timing and specific commands are placed on these wires. And finally, we have the data bus. And this is the actual data that is to be acted upon. For example, if you were printing, this would be the data that was to be printed. Let's walk through an example. If a device requests data to be saved to the hard disk, the save command is placed on the control bus. The actual data to be saved is placed on the data bus. And finally, the physical address on the hard disk is placed on the address bus. We spent some time talking about the mouse and keyboard and monitor and even the printer. Now would be a good time to define a device. A computer device is hardware that is not part of the computer case or installed inside the computer. Input devices provide data and control settings to a computer. For example, key presses on a keyboard, sound on a microphone, and movement of your mouse. Output devices communicate data processing done by a computer to the world outside the computer. Examples include your monitor, a printer, headphone, and speakers. In addition to input and output devices, some devices are standalone pieces of hardware. For example, computers are devices. Routers manage access to networks, digital cameras, cell phones, and handheld equipment. Devices usually connect to the computer via a port, but can connect wirelessly as well. An example would be a wireless printer. Devices can also connect to the computer via an expansion card. An example of an expansion card, as I mentioned before, would be a network interface card that would be connected to a PCI port on the motherboard. Devices communicate by sending and/or receiving electronic signals that are translated to binary. Binary is a language that can be understood by the language spoken by the CPU, which is machine language. Now, let's take a look at some common input devices. And first up, we have the keyboard. The keyboard is a device whose keystrokes are usually interpreted by software into some type of symbol or symbols. For example, the capital letter A, typed into a word processing document, is sent electronically from the keyboard in binary code to the motherboard. The capital letter A in binary is made up of 8 distinct pieces viewed as one logical unit, and that would be 01000001. And then this input is output on the monitor in an alphabetic format that we understand. A mouse is a pointing device that functions by detecting motion using an X and Y coordinate system relative to its point of origin on some type of a surface. You may have used this when you may be familiar with this when you just move your mouse around. You'll notice that it's able to know its location at all times. Some laptops have small pads in which you can use your finger to move your mouse. And lastly, on this slide, we have sound. These devices include CD and DVD players as well as microphones. One device you will encounter as an informatician is the CT, or computerized tomography scanner. And this is a diagnostic procedure that uses special X-ray equipment, the scanner, to obtain cross-sectional pictures of the body. The image shown here on the screen displays a Philips 64-slice, so-called brilliance scanner. You may also encounter a PET scanner. PET is the positron emission tomography scan. And this type of a scan is a nuclear medicine imaging technique which produces a three-dimensional image or picture of functional processes in the body. The image on the screen displays a GE Discovery D600 PET/CT system with 16 slice system built in 2009. Another device utilizes sound waves, and this would be ultrasonography. Sound waves are utilized to produce an image. And if you see the image here on the screen, you'll notice that there are a number of input devices utilized through those cords. And then the input would be recognized by the software and then output on the screen. The echoes are received as input from a sonographic probe and then translated into pixels, to be more technical. Another fascinating input device is MRI, and this is the magnetic resonance imaging technology. To use this type of equipment, a body is placed in a magnetic field and flooded with a radio frequency pulse that produces an image of the body's interior structure. The image shown here on this slide represents the output of an MRI scan of the human head. I briefly mentioned touchpads, and these are found on most modern laptops. The surface is pressure sensitive and is able to detect finger movement and then translate this as mouse movement using an XY coordinates. Other common input devices include game joysticks, fingerprint readers, cameras, barcode readers, and so on. Let's now turn our attention to output devices. And one example shown at the top is a monitor. This is a display device that can show computer input and output on the screen. A printer is a device that usually produces a paper copy based on an electronic document. We should note here that printers can also produce electronic copies. They can scan and then create an electronic image of the paper document. A printer connects to the motherboard, typically via USB, parallel, or some other type of a port, depending on the device. Today's printers almost always will connect using USB, depending upon the type of image that's sent to the printer. And we also have the flash drive. A flash drive is a secondary storage device that connects to the computer via a USB port. Speakers are hardware devices connected to a sound card, which is installed on the motherboard in some type of a port. We should note that an onboard speaker does not connect to a sound card, since sound card functionality is already part of the motherboard's circuitry. Another type of an output device also acts as an input device, as we saw previously, sonographic equipment. These types of devices produce images based on sound waves received. The image on the screen shows output. It displays an ultrasound image as a 3D image on the screen. Another output device, which also acts as an input device, I might add, is the EKG machine. The EKG is short for electrocardiography. This is an interpretation of the electrical activity of the heart over time, captured and externally recorded by skin electrodes. And the skin electrodes are the input devices. This is a non-invasive recording produced by an electrocardiographic device shown here on the screen. The image displays a 12-lead EKG of a 26-year-old male. Another important output device is a voice synthesizer, which produces sound based on text input. I'm sure that you're familiar with Stephen Hawking's synthesized voice. It's known throughout the world, although he lost his ability to speak in 1985. If you'd like to learn about his challenges, as well as his thoughts of changing his voice, examine the slide notes where I've posted a link to his Wikipedia site. Other common output devices include projectors, for example, what you'd see in a college classroom, scanners, and fax machines.